Well, thank you very much for having me in your living room. And basically, from my living room to your living room. Wow, what an incredible way to hear the word of God. And I'm so excited. Thank you, Pastor James, for inviting me to be part of this Jesus and His miracle meeting. I'm so excited because, I'm a walking miracle. In fact, I'm not supposed to be alive. When I was born, I was born in a village. In Malay, we call it kampung. I was so heavily overweight in my mother's womb. I don't know what my mom ate, but I was so overweight. I was like 9.5 pounds, I was born in the wooden hut, with those palm leaf, atap leaf kind of house without electricity or running water. And my mom have experience actually giving birth to about six children already. And when it came to my time, I was so big, I couldn't come out. They have to call the doctor to rush in and have to walk 15 minutes into the village, to give my mom an injection. And the midwife that deliver all the baby in that village, she's so experienced. When it came to my time, she retired, and so there was a new midwife that still wet in the ears, don't know what to do. And my mom cried out to God because my mom thought that the baby would die and she may die, in the middle of a childbirth. But to cut the long story short, I came out. Praise God, I came out. And and all my family members, they are all skin and bone. I mean, they're really skinny. I'm the only one that will put on weight with sunshine and fresh air. So I'm a walking miracle. And I spent 4 years as a missionary in Indonesia. And in a mission field, I experienced a miracle working Jesus. He's the same today, yesterday, and forever. And I still remember we used to go to villages, to preach the gospel and to proclaim the gospel of the kingdom, as John 14, 12 tells us, or rather Matthew 10 tells us that as you go, proclaim the gospel of the kingdom, heal the sick, cleanse the leper, raise the dead, cast out demons. And Jesus said, the work that I do in John 14, 12, greater things than this you shall do. And one of our Indonesian pastor was preaching in one village, and the villagers all came. They put on the lights, the sound system. But in every villages, there is always the witch doctor. In fact, they have power in that village. People don't plant or reap or marry unless they consult the witch doctor. Anybody that's sick always consult a witch doctor. They call it the dukun or bomo in Malay. And as my friend Pastor Ben was preaching that night, and as he was preaching the power of God, preaching about Jesus who love us, come and heal us and restore us and come and save us. And as he was preaching, one lady carrying a baby screamed and say, "My baby is dead, my baby is dead." The baby was turning blue, couldn't breathe, lifeless, no response. And she was screaming on top of voice in the middle of the preaching. Now, then the witch doctor behind shouted, "Bring the baby behind and I will heal your baby." Now, here you are, you're standing in front preaching the power of the gospel of the kingdom. And then there's a witch doctor behind, say, "Bring the baby here behind and I will heal your baby." Now, what would you do? So the preacher said, "Bring the baby to the front." And God, Jesus Christ, the miracle worker, he will heal your baby and raise your baby up. Now, that lady have to look to the front and the back, and she have to decide. Do you believe in a witch doctor now, or believe in this gospel of the kingdom? Believe in this Jesus Christ who came to save, to heal, to restore? Well, the lady stood up and walked forward. As she walked forward, the pastor lay hand on the baby and say, in the name of Jesus, rise up. And the baby started to cry. You know, baby, when they cry, is a good sign. It's a good sign. And started to breathe again. That's the Jesus that we believe in. The power of the gospel that Jesus asks us to go. In fact, he says, as you go, proclaim the message of the gospel of the kingdom to heal the sick, cleanse the leper, raise the dead, cast out demons. And it's so important to understand that this Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Now, today, I want to bring to you very powerful truth, because truth is very powerful. Truth sets people free. And many times we have a lot of false belief, as I was sharing on Sunday, a lot of ungodly belief. It's a lot of times based on our rational thinking, and we are called to walk by faith and not by sight. When it comes to the crunch, do what you see define for you who God is, or does the word of God define who God is? And we have to choose between God's word. That's why it's so important that we base our understanding on the biblical word of God, the biblical principle laid down in the word of God that give us faith, because faith comes by hearing the word of God. And God is still working today. Now, I still remember I was in Indonesia for 4 years. Every time when we preach Sunday service, we'll have altar call for salvation. And we saw the church grew to 10,000 strong. And every Sunday, we have hundreds of salvation. And I remember one Sunday, there were about close to 100 people up there receiving Christ. And then we will start to pray for the sick. And I was still new with Bahasa Indonesia. I was still learning the language during that time, because I'm a Singaporean, not like Malaysian. You all know a bit of Bahasa Melayu. But I only know 3 words when I went to Indonesia. That is makan, tidur, mati. That's the only 3 words I know. But anyway, I have tuition 3 times a week, and I was teaching in a Bible school of 800 Bible school students. We planted 200 over churches. And here I was, one man, you could see that he's very sick and he's perspiring. And, you know, in the church, there's no aircon. You know, it's really hot. And in Medan, it's really hot. And he was trying to tell me his sickness, but I couldn't understand. I couldn't. And there was an interpreter next to me, and I asked the interpreter, what's the problem with this person? And the interpreter was using his broken English trying to explain to him, but I couldn't quite hear it. So what I did was, I lay hand on him, on his head, with all his perspiration. I lay hand on his head. I say, in Jesus' name, be healed, whatever that sickness is. After I prayed, the interpreter pulled me aside and say, this guy has leprosy. I look at my hands, all his perspiration on my hands. So I look at my finger and my hands. I say, in Jesus' name, any leprosy, bacteria there, whatever, I command you to die. Well, it's been 20 years and I don't have leprosy. The power of God. So it is very important for us to know. In fact, the Bible tells us that this is eternal life in John 17, that they may know you, that you are the true God and Jesus Christ whom you send. Why did God send Jesus? There's a work that Jesus needs to do. And until we understand the finished work of Jesus Christ, we can never receive all the benefits. You know, the exchange, in fact, the great exchange, I will call it the greatest exchange that took place on the cross. There's a powerful divine exchange that took place, what Jesus did on the cross. And our faith must base on that, because even in Corinthians, Paul said, you know, that which I received, I pass to you of first importance. What is the first important? Jesus came. He died on the cross. On the third day, he rose from the dead. And the work that he accomplished is able to bring redemption to us, able to restore us into right relationship with him, and you know, restore us back into sonship. We are sons and daughters of God. And so we need to understand why God sent his son. And the finished work of Jesus Christ on the cross, it's so foundational and core and crucial and vital for us to know, because that is whereby the whole gospel rests on. And that is the finished work of Jesus Christ on the cross. Now, it is very important for us to understand what did Jesus do on the cross, so that we will not be lied by the evil ones and be robbed of all the blessing that comes from the finished work of Jesus Christ on the cross. In fact, everything of our faith is based on that. Now, we all know about salvation, Jesus died for our sin, but this is just one part. In fact, it is a much greater truth in every aspect. The word salvation involves everything, involves deliverance, healing, restoration. And so I want to share with you right now from the first scripture on our slide. And it says about this divine exchange. It says, first of all, for our sake, God made Jesus to be sin, who knew no sin. So he was without sin, and he became sin for us. We who are sinner will become the righteousness of God. We have the righteousness of Jesus Christ. That is so important pertaining to our salvation, because there's no way that we can gain acceptance with God without sin. And the only way is, in fact, without the shedding of blood, there's no remission or forgiveness of sin. And this is the most powerful divine exchange. Now, we're going to go on about Jesus' miracles. So our next slide in Matthew 8 tells us. Now, this is very important. I want you to catch this, because a lot of people say, oh, you know, the Old Testament, we only read the red letter of Jesus, but the Old Testament, you know, is really, it's not relevant. Not true. You need the Old Testament to understand the New. And the New Testament is a fulfillment of the Old. All right. Now it says here, when Jesus came to Peter's house, he saw his mother-in-law lying sick in bed with a fever. And Jesus touched her hand, and the fever left her. And she got up and waited on him. That means start serving food and all that, giving refreshment. Now, here it is. Jesus touched her, the fever instantly left her. Now, if you read the gospel, 90% of Jesus' ministry is healing the sick. Healing the sick. In fact, I think it must have broken the heart of God to see how sicknesses have ravaged through the beautiful body that God created for us. And when we sin, all the curses of sin, the judgment of sin came. And surely, eat of this fruit, you shall surely die. Now, then it says here, when the evening came, now can you imagine the news that spread through the village? Everybody by evening came and brought many who were demon possessed. And he cast out the spirit with a word and healed all who were ill. There he demonstrated Jesus' life was healing and casting out demons right through the narrative of the gospel. And he says here, in verse 17, now read carefully. This was to fulfill what was spoken through Isaiah the prophet. He took our infirmities and carried away our diseases. And this found in Isaiah 53. Now, here what Jesus was doing was, when he ministered, he was fulfilling Isaiah 53. So we need to understand Isaiah 53 in detail, in a deeper way, to understand what Jesus came to fulfill, what he has done for us. And as we move on to the next scripture, we find that in 1 Peter, that's a New Testament again, quoted this verse. It says that he bore our sin in his body on the cross so that we might die to sin and live for righteousness. By his wound, you have been healed. Again, a passage that came out from Isaiah. So the New Testament have scripture to say, hey, it all goes back to that prophecy, the fulfillment a prophecy, what Jesus came, what the Father sent Jesus to do. So we're going to examine right now Isaiah 53. And because of time, I'm going to zero down to about six verses, all right, or four verses. Now, in verse 3 to 4, it says here that he was despised and rejected, forsaken by men. Now, the divine exchange is he was rejected so that you could be accepted by God. All right? And you know, he was despised so that you can be embraced with favor. And a man of sorrow, the word sorrow is pain. And that pain is emotional, physical, mental pain. The agony that Jesus went through at the Garden of Gethsemane explained how even the sweat of blood flew out of his body. He was acquainted with grief, and the word grief, it also means sicknesses, whether it's emotional, mental, physical, spiritual. As one from whom men hide their face, their faces, he was despised, and we esteem him not. You know, and so the scripture is saying this is what Jesus went through for us. In fact, in verse 4, it says, surely he bore our griefs, again, his sicknesses, and carry our sorrow. No, the emotional healing, the mental healing, the physical healing. And we esteem him stricken, smitten by God, afflicted. So he bore, he took upon our curses. He took upon our torment. He took upon our sin. He took upon our judgment on himself on the cross. The sins of the whole world, past, present, and future, came upon him. The curses, the torment, all came upon him for us in exchange that we can receive his peace. We can receive his life, his blessing. And the next verse, in verse 5, it tells us that he was pierced for our transgression. As you know, he was pierced at the side, our sin, transgression, transgressing the law, and he was crushed for our iniquity. That's why he prayed at the Garden of Gethsemane. The word Gethsemane is a wine press, you know, olive press, rather, and it's a press that crushes the olive to get the olive oil. And for our sin, he was crushed, he was pierced. And the chastisement or the punishment that brought us peace, the mental peace that he got for us, you know, he was crushed, he was pierced, he was punished. And with his stripe or with his wound, we are healed. Not we'll be healed. Maybe some will be healed. We are healed. And he took upon himself on the cross. And we are like sheep that gone astray. We have turned everyone to our own way. The Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. That means all our sin and the curses of sin rested on him. And how, when we believe his finished work, when we accept what he has done for us, he not only saved our soul and we receive salvation, we save healing, we save deliverance, we have freedom, and we are new creation. And we have a new status as sons and daughter of God. You know, he gives us the power and the authority, you know, as many as receive him, power and authority to become sons and daughter of God. And this, again, is so vital for our faith, that we rest and anchor on what Jesus did for us. And by faith, we access this grace. Now, grace is giving you what you do not deserve. Giving you what you don't deserve. And so in order to have grace and receive grace, we access it by faith, all right? Like by faith, we believe that what Jesus did is true, and we accept it, we receive it into our hearts. Now, the next scripture tells us, I want to lay a strong biblical foundation so that our faith is rest on the word of God and not just some kind of opinion of people or practices of people. It is very important that our faith rests on the word of God, because in some say he sent out his word and healed them. He rescued them from the grave. Let us give thanks to the Lord for his unfailing love and his wonderful deeds for mankind. What is a wonderful deed? He sent his word. Now, this can be two meanings. In the beginning was the word, and the word was Christ, and the word was with God, and the word is God. That means Jesus. He sent Jesus and healed them. He sent Jesus to finish the work on the cross to heal them. And he also sent his word. So when you rest your faith on the word of God, you receive healing. And we access by faith on God's word. And he rescues us from our grave. Now, it's important for me to establish this. So I'm going to go on to the next verse in Romans. And in Romans chapter 8, verse 11, all right, we have to understand that if the spirit of him who raised Christ Jesus from the dead dwells inside you, that means the same spirit that raised Christ from the dead dwells in you, he who raised up Christ Jesus from the dead will also restore to life your mortal, short-lived, perishable body through his spirit who dwells in you. So the same spirit that raised Christ from the dead now restore to life your mortal body. Now, I want to just pause for a while here to explain a little bit, all right? And maybe let's go on to the next verse. Then I'll explain a little bit on the application of it. Now, to understand that the life that we have now is a resurrected life of Christ, okay? In Romans 6, verse 5, it tells us, for we have become united with Jesus, all right? So we are one, all right? Christ in me, the hope of glory. We are united with him in the likeness of his death. That's why we have water baptism. No, we bury it. We go into the water. We bury with him. And Galatians 2:20 says, well, I no longer live. I'm crucified with Christ. I'm crucified with Christ. I no longer live, you know. And it says here, certainly we shall also be in the likeness of his resurrection. So when we rise up, as we unite with him in his death, we unite with him in his resurrection. So we have the resurrected life. Now, I'm going to finish off with all the slides now, and we can stop sharing the screen so that I can speak to you without the screen there. Yeah, you can pin my picture, then my face will be bigger. If not, you'll be just one of the small square in the gallery wood. Now, what I'm saying here is this. God already finished his work on the cross for us, all right? And all that we need, it's finished. That's why when he hung on the cross, he said, it is finished. There's nothing else needed. It is finished. And you got to understand, we are saved. We are being saved, and we will be saved. The kingdom of God is here, and the kingdom of God is to come in the fullness of the kingdom of God in the coming days. Now, we know that we are healed. The ultimate healing is when this mortal body takes on immortality, all right? And that we take on immortality because this body is of the earth, is subjected to a sin curse world, and this body will die. In fact, it is appointed for man to die once, and then judgment. In fact, some says 70 and 10. That means 70 years. If you have bonus, you live up to 80 years. Now, we know that this mortal body will die. Even when Jesus raised the dead, like Lazarus and all the daughter and all of that woman, everyone still died. But we long for the glorified body, which Jesus has when he rose from the dead, all right? And that glorified body whereby we have no more pain, no more sicknesses, no more diseases, that is the ultimate fulfillment where we are completely transformed and changed to have the glorified body. But while we are on earth, all right, our organ will age and we will all die. It's a fact. So whatever healing that we experience is temporary. It's a foretaste of what God is going to do for us. Like, for example, we don't have to wait to go to heaven. We can have heaven on earth. We don't have to wait till we go to heaven and see Jesus face to face. Jesus is living in us through the Holy Spirit. We don't have to be directly in the presence of God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. When the Holy Spirit is dwelling in us, our body, the temple of the Holy Spirit, 24/7. In other words is, you can experience salvation now, and you are being saved and sanctified, and you will be saved. Ultimately, the fulfillment, you know, the whole completion of salvation. Now, I strongly believe that it is the will of God to heal, be it a final healing with the glorified body, or be it a temporary healing till we die. Because if we are doubting the will of God, then we will not have the faith to believe. Oh, what if I pray and the person is not healed? Will I embarrass God? Or how can I presume the person will be healed? Now, my approach, and I have seen so many healing. Just the other few, 2 years ago, it's been 2 years ago, the lockdown kind of speed everything up, you know. 2 years ago, before the lockdown, I was in India. And man, I tell you what, we had a youth camp, about 2,500 people, youth camp, you know, it was powerful. And I still remember one lady came up to me and said, "You remember me?" He's a pastor's wife, actually. I said, yeah, because we pray for so many people. He said, "Well, the first time you came about 3 years ago, you prayed for me because I couldn't conceive. And in India, it's very important to have children. And we lay hand with another pastor, lay and pray for her. So that year, when we went back, she said, "I'm pregnant, you know, and I'm giving birth." And of course, I received later on a picture of the baby, healthy baby, you know, and the husband was so happy. And I still remember preaching in one of the surveys, the husband translated for me, you know, he's a happy man. God heals. God heals, and we must have the faith resting on his word that by his stripe you are healed. He says, as you go, proclaim the gospel. In Matthew 10, as you go, proclaim the gospel of the kingdom, heal the sick, cleanse the leper, raise the dead, cast out demon. In fact, Mark says that you go, you know, and even if you take poison or take a snake or whatever, by you, nothing's going to happen to you. You lay hand on the sick and they shall be healed. Now, this is rest on the foundational anchor of the great and the greatest divine exchange. By his wound, by his stripe, we are healed. Now, this is so important for us to understand, because if we pray, if we doubt in our mind, if we don't, you know, if we say, "Oh, we are not sure whether, you know, God, even if it's your will or not." Now, it is the will of God to heal, right? The final healing, as I say, is our glorified body. And the healing that we experience now, we get a taste of so-called heaven. And we still can experience healing, even though we all know ultimately all of us will die. Like Lazarus is not around. We won't live forever and ever, because this body is a mortal body. It has to take on immortality. But at this moment, Jesus say, "Go, heal the sick, proclaim the gospel." You know, it's a sign. Say, "I will confirm my word with signs and wonders." Now, I still remember many years back, I was still struggling with the area of healing. So I dare not pray for people to be healed because I'm so afraid. I'm so afraid I embarrass God. Can you imagine we are afraid of embarrassing God? God is not afraid to be embarrassed. He stands by his word. And so I wasn't sure. So I remember my niece had a fall and she had concussion and there's pain in the neck and she was seeing the doctor. I went to visit her and I was her youth pastor then. And as I visit her, I can see that she's in pain. And in my heart, I say, "Okay, should I pray for her or should I not pray for her?" Because I wasn't sure, you know. Then in the end, I said, "Okay, maybe I should just pray for her, you know, pastoral care, you know." So I just put my hand there, you know, I just say, "Lord, we command the pain to go. In Jesus' name, be healed. By your stripe, we are healed." And after I pray, when I say amen, I quickly stand up and walk out of the room. I didn't want to ask anything or say anything, you know, like, "Okay, you know, I see a prayer for you. Okay, bye-bye." As I was walking towards the door, she screamed, "Something happened. Uncle, something happened. Something happened." I said, "What?" She said, "The pain is completely gone. The pain is the pain completely gone. And she was moving her neck, twisting her neck. And oh, it's completely gone. It's completely gone. And I look at her. Yeah, well, that's why I pray for you, you know. You see, many people are not healed because we dare not pray for them. Because we have a wrong mindset. Oh, we embarrass God. We embarrass God. Hey, God don't need you to try to, you know, feel for him that he'll be embarrassed. Because you see, we walk by faith and not by sight. Now, if you ask me, are there people you pray for, they're not healed? Yes. Are there people you pray for and they die? Yes. But that is not going to stop me from praying for the sick. Because our time is in the hands of God. If our time is up, God will take us home. Sometimes we don't understand why. Some lives are longer, some are shorter, and we don't know why. And this is where faith comes in. See, if everything can be rationalized, if everything can have logic, then why the need of faith? You know, faith is raised. Faith is say, God, I'm going to be defined by your word and not by feelings and not by what I see around us. So I remember many years ago, I was at Listerfield Lake Park. You know, then I was just visiting my brother who was living here then. And we were in the midst of barbecue. And of course, you know, I shared a word. It's just a short sharing at that fellowship. So at the end, you know, it was a summer, a lot of flies all over, you know, they come on your nose, your eyes. And it was hot. And then there was one guy from Mauritius. And you know, he's probably in his late 50s. Came up to me and said, look, I have a condition in my back and my nerve is pinching me and I feel pain and itch and I've gone through so many specialists and all that. Nothing seems to happen. You know, and sometimes I can't sleep because of this. You know, this nerve is like pinching, it's like itchy and painful and just couldn't find out why. Can you pray for me? Now, that moment, I have no feeling. In fact, I was agitated by the perspiring, the heat, the housefly. And together with my wife, we just lay our hands and just simply believe. See, it's not about you. It's about Jesus. It's about believing. It's about faith. It's about not doubting. So I just lay my hand, no feeling, no emotion, nothing, no soft music in the background, no dim light, you know, to create the atmosphere. I just lay hand. I say, in Jesus' name, be healed. And then, of course, we all left and I didn't know anything about it anymore. I'm not in contact with him. And then a month or so later, my brother got in contact with me and said, you know, that man you prayed for? Well, when he went home, nothing happened. Nothing happened. Everything still remained the same. But after 1 week, one day he got up and realized the whole thing is gone. The pain and the itch completely gone on the second week. And he called me, he contacted me to say, can you please tell your brother the pain is gone? So here you are. Sometimes there's instant healing. Sometimes there's partial healing. But as you walk by faith and keep giving thanks for God's healing, as I say, proclaiming with your words is very important. Life and health is through your word. So as you begin to confess and align your spoken word with God's word, faith arises. When I was 18 years old, I was inducted into the army in Singapore to do my national service. And one of the night I woke up with my nose completely blocked. I couldn't breathe. I was gushing for breath. For the first time in my life, I experienced severe sinus problem. Just overnight. Used to be okay. No worries. Under the rain, I know I'm the last one to have a cold or flu. But I woke up, my nose is blocked. And from that day onwards, out of 7 days a week, if one day I have a clear nose, that's a miracle. But at the slightest of dust, you know, a change of weather, I'll be sneezing and I'll be having sinus and it's worse than hay fever. And I cry out to God. I said, God, heal me, heal me. you know, and I will go for a respond in the service for people to pray for me. Nothing happened. And it went on. And I went to the mission field. And when I was in Indonesia, all right, you know, they used to burn their garbage and their rubbish on the roadside. So in the evening, they burn their garbage so that the smoke will chase away the mosquito. And but man, when you have the smoke, my nose gonna have it. So I'll be sneezing. Now I'll be lecturing in a Bible school and I'll be dripping and sneezing. But on a Sunday service, I'll be praying for the sick and laying hands on the sick and people get healed. And I said, Lord, how about me? You know, and I saw healing in front of me. I said, how about me? I'm still, you know, I'm still not healed and I'm praying for people and people get healed. You know? Anyway, I was desperate and I said, God, do something. And I still remember after I came back from the mission field, one day I was driving. I said, Lord, and I was crying in prayer. I said, Lord, enough is enough. I had enough of this anymore. And I said, Lord, I speak your healing right now. And within a week, without me even realizing it, my sinus was completely healed. Till today, you know, every time hay fever comes, you know, I thought it's going to be terrible for me. And you know, the fear, the thoughts by the devil say, oh, you're going to have it back. You're going to have it back. But even in hay fever, I'll have very mild symptoms. Because I stand on God's healing power. I want to encourage all of us that we don't have to carry. And, you know, some of us, we accept it. In fact, I remember I told my church, I said, look, every time comes springtime, the church attendance will drop because people say I have hay fever or I have asthma attack because of hay fever. I said, look, it's as though that our mind and our words are in sync. You know, our mind say, spring is coming, hay fever season, go and buy all the stuff from Chemist Warehouse. Get ready to welcome Mr. Hay Fever into your life, into your body. And then your words say, yeah, you know, springtime, you know, hay fever, I'm going to get hay fever. So the mouth start to confess, the mind start to think that I am going to welcome hay fever into my family, into my children, into my home. I said, we got to stop it. We have to stop that. So I say, right now, we're going to speak to Mr. Hay Fever. I said, Mr. Hay Fever, you are not welcome in my body. You are not welcome in my family. You are not welcome in my children. I reject you. I command you to leave. Now, you start to command Hay Fever and reject Hay Fever to leave until Mr. Hay Fever felt so rejected and leave. So you just begin to proclaim that I have the fullness of Christ in me, the same spirit that raised Christ from the dead. Give me life, quicken my mortal body. You know, there were years whereby I would have emergency calls, so and so is in the A&E of asthmatic attacks, so and so is in hospital. But the moment I taught the church to stand on your ground, yes, that God heals today. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. He says, the things that I do, you will do. Remember, Jesus is the model for us. How he lived life, how he ministered. He's a model for us, fully man. In Acts, he said he was a man, Jesus of Nazareth, you know, anointed of the Holy Spirit, go about healing the sick, casting out demons. So when we look at Jesus, say, Lord Jesus, I want to be like you in your character, in your ministry. And I want to do the works that you do. In fact, greater works than this you shall do. And when we start to resist hay fever, we were amazed. In our church every year, it's not getting worse. It's getting better. People will testify, oh, I have the most mild symptom. Oh, you know, and it's improving. No one going to the hospital anymore. Children are doing well. It is time that we don't welcome sicknesses in our body. I know, you know, as we grow old, yeah, I know old people, you know, we are fall sick and we can't accept it, see? We should reject it. Because remember, I really say your spoken word bring health and wholeness to your body. And it is based on God's word. That's why he says, go into the world, preach the gospel, lay hands on sick, you know, And even in James says, the book of James says, anyone sick, if anyone's sick, come on, call the elders. Lay hand. He didn't say if anyone's sick, depending whether is it the will of God, then you call the elders. No, you just call the elders. You know, and they'll lay hand on you and anoint you with oil, and the prayer of faith will heal the sick. See, you can't pray with faith if you are doubting. Now, I know some people you pray for, they are not healed. And we don't know why. Because maybe their time is up. God's way are higher than our ways. His thoughts are higher than our thoughts. We don't know. In fact, I remember attending an evangelism training under Reinhard Bonnke. And Reinhard Bonnke was there. Daniel Colander was there. Todd White was there. And there was this African pastor that was there. And she raised almost a dozen dead people, you know, literally. And there was an American pastor there that raised the dead as well. And I was in that training. And you know, I got Reinhard Bonnke to lay hand on me, pray for me, anoint me for the work of evangelism. And I remember when it came to question time to ask Reinhard Bonnke, the late Reinhard Bonnke, who have seen thousands being saved and dead raised, and not thousands, even million being saved. And the question is, if you pray for someone and they don't get healed, what happened? You know what Reinhard Bonnke say? Well, if they don't get healed, next. All right, who else next? I pray again. Pray. If you pray 100 times and one person gets sick and got healed, then pray 1,000 times. More will be healed. Keep praying. Don't stop praying. In fact, if there's any scripture that says about someone not well, it is always praying for healing. And James already says, is anyone sick here? Come, pray. That's what you do. Don't accept it. Don't confess that, okay, I'm gonna die. You know, in my church alone, just in my church, I've seen so many miracles. You know, cancer completely touched by God. You know, I've seen people healed in such a powerful way, not just in the mission field in Indonesia. God heals all the time. And he still raised the dead. He still raised the dead. I still remember when I was in Indonesia as a missionary, and the pastor is a doctor as well. So there's a room as a clinic, you know, to see patients, and especially among the poor, they will give free consultation and medicine for the poor. And in that pastor's house is one room for the clinic, and the next room is like a meeting room. So I was in the next room, in the meeting room, with my Bible school staff, and we were doing some planning for the Bible school, as we are teaching a 3-year Bible school with about almost 800 students during that time. And then I heard screaming from that room. You know, and they were speaking in their own Batak kind of dialect, which I can't understand then. And my staff say, oh, this mother is screaming because the baby is dead. No, the mother can't rush into the clinic with a dead baby, blue, completely lifeless. So I was in the next room hearing all that is going on, you know. And then I heard prayer. I heard casting out death. You know, and there was incredible prayer that was going on, and here I was hearing from the next room what's going on, and then next thing we heard was the baby start crying again, and the mother was overjoyed, and right in front of my staff, my staff say, "Did you hear that? The dead was just raised." You know, God is still a miracle working God. Even today, if we only believe, all things are possible. All things are possible. I can go on and tell you stories after story. Okay, let me give you another one to increase your faith. Okay. Agus is a Orang Nias. You know, he's from the Nias Island. You know, he's one of the cell leader in the church, and we grew so fast. The church, we have 1,000 cell group. All right, every Friday night is a cell group meeting. And anyway, I goes one day run in a cell leader's meeting, run towards me and pull me and got me sat down and say, I just came back from Pulau Nias. I say, yeah. What happened? Why you go back to Pulau Nias? Because it's a day bus journey and then overnight boat trip, long journey from Medan to Pulau Nias. And he said, I need to tell you this. I received call that my mom is very ill. That's why I rush home. But in my culture, we won't tell you your mom is dead. We just tell you your mom is very ill. So by the time I reach home, they already removed all the furniture from the house. And you know how they put the mat on the floor. And my mom was lying at the center. And the village chief already pronounced that my mom is dead. And all the relatives are sitting around in the house mourning. And he loved his mom so much. And when he saw the mom dead, he couldn't let go. He said, my brothers and sisters, some of them are still not saved. Lord, your word says we and the household will be saved. I want to claim that, you know. And my mom can't go without them being saved. It's not fair. So he went to the center of the room and start to cry and put his hand on the mom and start to pray that God will raise the mom from the dead. And all the people around was seeing him crying and all this. Oh, you know, he's such a loving son and all that. And he was there for 3 hours praying and crying, 3 hours. And said, I'm not going to give up, God, I'm not going to give up. And he went on and stayed on and pray. After almost 5 hours, suddenly the mother sit up. And all the people in the room all ran out. Antu, ghost. The mother sat up. God raised his mother from the dead. And they started a church. In fact, all the relatives all came to know God because of this event. And they are able to start a church in the house. And here I am. I'm not reading this from the internet or hearing it from so many other sources, but I'm hearing it directly from the man who raised his mom from the dead. So I want to encourage all of us. Whatever infirmity, remember, he bore our infirmity. He carried our diseases. Whatever diseases or infirmity you have, you can pray for God to heal you. It is not about you. It's not about how holy you are or how good you are or how much Bible knowledge you are. No, it's just simple faith that Jesus bore my sin and my diseases. You know, he took my diseases on himself, but the curses, the punishment, in exchange, he gave me his life. Yes, we will all die. And as I say, facts will tell you not all will be healed. If all will be healed, we can go to the hospital and empty out the hospital. The issue is not who is healed, who is not healed. The issue is let's rise up by faith, obey the commandment of God to, as you go, proclaim the gospel, pray for the sick. And everywhere I go, we always pray for the sick. I still remember that time when the care group was growing, the cell group was growing in the church. And we see God confirming his word. You know, God always confirms his word with signs and wonders. Can you imagine if the witch doctor said, bring the baby here, I will heal you. And we serve a powerful God. And we say, well, I'm not sure whether God will heal this baby or not. Then you will have no faith. You know, we say our God is powerful, but we are behaving like God is so reluctant, that God is trying to avoid healing us. Not true. You know, he wants to heal us because that's what Jesus did. He carried all our pain and diseases. You know, so we told the cell leaders that when you visit a home, a newcomer that visits the church, when you go for house visitation, the first thing you ask is there anyone that is sick? And lay hand on the sick. Follow the Bible, you know, everywhere you go. And just ask anyone. And many times when they do visitation, you know, there'll be people that are sick in the household or people that they know of that are sick. And they will pray. And I tell you what, every Friday night, we got so many testimony of healing through the visitation. In fact, what they do next is, after they are healed, the next question is, will you open up your house for our cell group? When you have the presence of God in your home, you'll be blessed. Remember the guy that kept the Ark of Covenant? He was blessed. And straight away they say, yes, we'll open up our house. And the moment they open up their house for the weekly cell meeting, they start inviting their neighbors. That's how we grow so fast. You know, every month there will be at least about 200 to 250 people getting baptized. And the baptismal pool is a rectangular pool with seven pastors, and I'll be in there as well. You know, and they'll queue up in rows to get into the pool, you know, first with the ladies queuing up, and then all the ladies cell leader will stand in two rows, you know, to pray for them. By the time they reach the water, any demons will have come out, any sicknesses will have been healed. They get in the water, they're baptized. Then next, the guy will come, queuing up one row, seven passes in a rectangular pool. And again, the cell leaders, the guys, the men cell leaders will stand in two rows, and the candidate will walk in between, and they'll lay hand and pray. And you will see along the way, there'll be manifestation because they get involved with witchcraft and all that. We'll cast out demon. And then you'll get in the water, and then we will baptize them, all right? And then in the water, you know, there'll be two teams, the red and the blue t-shirt. No, red t-shirt is to bring the candidates to me. Blue t-shirt is to bring the candidates out of the pool. And then at the end of the water baptism, the water will be gray color. Because some of the trishaw rider haven't taken bath for days, you know. And we see all this. Now, I'm sharing with you not in the theoretical form. I experience healing my life. I experience God working in simple faith. See, some people say, oh, you need great faith. No, if your faith is as small as a mustard seed, you can command the mountain be cast into the sea and it shall be done. Do not doubt. See, if you, James said, if you doubt, you're double-minded, then nothing, you know, you're unstable. Nothing will come out. But our faith is, yes, I know, not all be healed. Because we all will die one day, you know. But we got to continue to obey God's word, to go and pray for the sick. And as we begin to lay hand and pray for the sick, we see the miracles happening over. Sometimes it may be instant healing. Sometimes it may be just partial healing, but improve all the time. Some may even take years. We don't know, but we keep standing on the promises of God. We keep confessing, God, I thank you that you took my sicknesses on the cross. I thank you that by your stripes I began to use your words and began to speak forth and align your word with God's word. Now, one last testimony before I pray. When I was a youth pastor in Singapore, there was one youth that had mental sicknesses. I know emotional sicknesses, mental sicknesses, and depression is very hard. You know, when someone has mental sicknesses, involve the family, it's a burden to the family, you know, to society. It's not easy. It's not easy. I know as pastors, you know, now, dealing with people with mental health is so challenging. Anyway, this youth is kind of schizophrenic and depression and all that, and visit the home because of the family situation and so forth. It was very hard. But we never stopped believing. We keep confessing that God will heal him, and we keep laying hand and praying for him. Then I left for the mission field. So we lost contact. Many, many years later, in fact, we were worried that he may not finish his polytech or TAFE, with his diploma. In Singapore, they call it poly. You know, here it's called TAFE. We are very concerned that he may have to drop out because of his mental illness. But anyway, we continue to pray. Hold on and pray and pray. Never stop. Never stop believing that God will touch him. And here I was in Indonesia as a missionary and lost touch for many years. And when I came back one day, I met him suddenly in the streets. And he called me up, Pastor Ken. I look at him. For a moment, I couldn't quite recognize him because, you know, he can't put on a bit of weight, you know. He said, remember me? Oh, yeah, that's a guy, you know. And before I could ask anything, he tell me, by the way, I completed my TAFE college. I got my diploma. Whew, praise God, you know, you finish your study. And then next thing he tell me, by the way, I am completely healed. I'm no more on medication. Praise God, man, I'm so glad I met you. And then with the icing on the cake, he says, by the way, I am working in the Christian Counseling Center right now, and I'm ministering to people with mental illnesses. Wow. What a powerful redemptive story. So I want to challenge, don't give up. I had sinus, I mean, almost 20 over years, and God instantly took it away, instantly. And I believe tonight, I know I'm taking a bit of time here, but I want to pray for all of you because I sense that God wants to heal tonight. I believe God so wants to heal you if you only believe, if you only believe. And I believe tonight as we hear the word of God, I pray that faith will arise in you. There'll be such a faith that will rise in your heart that you will say, God, I believe in your word. I believe that you are the healer. I believe that by your stripe, I'm healed. I believe that you took all our griefs, our sorrow, Lord, our mental peace, Lord, you took the punishment for us. You not only heal us spiritually, but you heal us emotionally, mentally, physically. And tonight, if you're not well, I just want you, and I'm going to pray together. If you're not well, or you know of someone that's not well, you can stand in proxy for them, all right, to represent them. I want you to just place your right hand on where you are not well. You know, if you have hypertension, place on your heart. If you have a headache, place on. I want you to just place your right hand on there. And I'm going to pray in agreement. The Bible says when two or three pray together in agreement, according to the will of God, it shall be done. And I believe that it is God's will to heal us spiritually, emotionally, mentally, physically. And the ultimate healing is when we have the glorified body to be with him. No more pain, no more diseases, no more sicknesses. But right now we can experience heaven on earth. It will be done on earth as it is in heaven. So just lay your hand right now on whichever part, your back, your tummy, or whatever area, okay? Some of you may struggle with maybe emotional issue. All right, just put your hand on your heart. Or mental issue, put your hand on your head. We're going to pray and we're going to agree based not on my faith, based on the faith of God, on his word. All right. So we're going to pray, right? Father, in the name of Jesus, we come before you right now on the basis of your word that if we have a faith as small as a mustard seed, we can even command the mountain to be removed. We can speak to the mountains. We can speak to the giants of sicknesses. Right now, every emotional, mental, physical, spiritual sicknesses, we command you to be healed, to be gone right now in the name of Jesus. By your stripe, we are healed. You took all our curses. You took all our diseases on the cross of Calvary. I speak wholeness. I speak health right now. I speak deliverance. I speak restoration. I speak the peace of God that passes all understanding to guard our mind and our heart in Christ Jesus. Right now, I come against doubt and unbelief. Lord, we believe. Help our unbelief. In the mighty name of Jesus. Father, for those that stand in proxy, for those that are not well, wherever they are, you are there. Wherever they are, be it in Malaysia, in around the world, you are there. We speak your healing power and anointing to flow right now in Jesus' mighty name. Based on the finished work of Jesus Christ on the cross, we stand and we proclaim healing, deliverance. We proclaim wholeness. We proclaim salvation. And for those that do not know you yet and experience you as a Lord and Savior, we pray right now that their hearts will be open to believe that you are the true God that came and took all our sin on the cross on our behalf so that we can receive forgiveness of sin by the shedding of your blood. In Jesus' mighty name. In Jesus' mighty name. Amen. 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 Now, I want you right now to check. All right. How are you feeling? If you have pain, especially if you have pain, how is the pain right now? Try to move around. Do you feel much better? Anyone feel much better? Or a significant better? Anyone? Now, it's very important for us to take small step of faith. If you feel a little bit better, just say, yep, I feel a little better. And you know, sometimes it just increases by the day. All right. Sometimes I know people who came for the meeting, nothing happened, went back home, the next morning completely healed. All right. So if is anyone, I know, to increase faith here, anyone you want to indicate in some way that if you're not well, and that is if you're not well here. All right. Yeah, you're feeling much better. Anyone here? Yes, I see one hand there. Yep. All right. For those without video, I can't see your hand. So by faith, I believe God is healing you. Praise God. Amen. 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 Mr. Sel, how are you doing? Are you okay? Praise God. Amen. 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 No, I don't want to just stop here in the sense that when we finish this meeting, if God has touched you, please let Pastor James know. Because you know why? Testimony are very powerful. Very powerful. We overcome him by the word of our testimony. All right, it's so important. Amen. Praise God. Now, I sense that there's going to be incredible healing anointing in Go Evangelical Church. I sense God is going to release. All he does is we got to get back to the word. Get back to standing on the word. All right. Don't be afraid if you pray and people don't get healed. It's okay. It's all right. In fact, I asked Reinhard Bonke, what do you do when people don't get healed? He said, keep praying. Keep praying. Don't stop. Because the devil wants you to stop. No, the devil wants you to stop. Don't stop. In fact, I have a church member from Africa. This is what she said. You know, every time I pray, trouble happen. So I stop praying now. Because if I pray, more trouble. I say, then you are agreeing to the devil. The devil don't want you to pray. In fact, the more trouble you have, the better it is. You're in the right track. You're praying. You're really damaging the kingdom of darkness. So keep praying. It's not about you. It's not about your great faith. It's about God's word. See, remember, he sent his word and healed them. You proclaim the word. I encourage you to read every healing scripture. There are a lot in the YouTube. Healing scripture. As you begin to read and hear the word, faith arises. You know, and as you begin to exercise your faith, you experience the healing of God. Jesus continued to heal because of Isaiah 53. He came. He came. He that the Son set free is free indeed. So I want to encourage you. Amen. Be strengthened in your faith. Keep confessing the word. Keep meditating the word. When faith arises, you access to the miraculous in the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God has no limit in supply, in provision, in healing, in deliverance. Because whenever someone gets healed, Jesus said, the kingdom of God is here. How do we access to the miraculous in the kingdom of God? By faith on his word. Amen. Praise God. Father, I pray for Go Evangelical Church and those that are attending tonight. I know it's not by chance or coincidence, but I believe God is by divine appointment. They are here to hear your word. Father, I release that from this night on, we're going to move up to the next level of faith. With boldness, we go and proclaim the gospel, the full gospel, healing, deliverance, Lord, and salvation. The full gospel, not just the spiritual, but emotional, mental, physical. So God, I pray for faith to arise. I bless Go Evangelical Church to be a church whereby people experience the reality of the kingdom of God. People experience the miraculous working God, that Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He is a great physician. Thank you, Father. Bless Go Evangelical Church right now. And everyone under the sound of my voice, in Jesus' name, amen and amen and amen. Praise God.